You're listening to SBS News.
Algerian boxer Iman Khelif has been engulfed in a row about her eligibility to compete in the women's category at the Paris Olympics after an Italian rival bowed out from a bout in just 46 seconds. The short-lived fight sparked speculation about Khelif's sex and allegations that she's a male, but the boxer was cleared to compete by the International Olympic Committee. To help unpack fact from fiction and explain what's going on, SBS spoke to Dr. Morgan Carpenter. He's a bioethicist at the University of Sydney and the Executive Director of Intersex Human Rights Australia. He's speaking here with T. Mitchell.
Last week, you put out a statement calling for an end to the hate towards sportswomen like Iman Khelif. Can you tell me why you did that and how things have unfolded since?
I did that because I'm really concerned about what has actually been a literal demonization of people with innate variations of sex characteristics on social media in particularly. But that's been, you know, the images have been shared on you know, newspapers around the country. You know, the demonization of this athlete on social media, reproduced in national media, with this huge, monstrous, demonic figure towering over a small, petite, crying woman with long hair, it is such a horrific a way of presenting, a really fallacious, problematic way of presenting the situation.
Where has this all come from? What evidence is being used to suggest that she shouldn't be allowed to compete in the women's category?
Well, a discredited boxing institution released some purported test results, which have variously been described, contradictorily described as chromosome testing or testosterone testing. We don't know which, on the platform Telegram, and that's been then referred to in other sources. I think it's a really unhelpful way to go about disclosure of this issue. And it also has led to a lot of very uninformed debate and jumping to conclusions on social media, and including by some media commentators on the basis of what's ultimately speculation without firm evidence. And I think it's also important to bear in mind that there is a question about what kinds of evidence people should expect to be placed in the public domain. How much information about people's bodies is it okay for sporting institutions to disclose publicly? I would argue that athletes have a right to expect privacy about their intimate biological characteristics.
It sounds like we really don't know much at all. So can we even necessarily say that Khelif is an intersex person, or is that going too far, you know, even to say that?
Well, I think it's jumping the gun to confirm that she does indeed have an innate variation of sex characteristics, or an intersex variation, or a difference of sex development. Those terms are largely synonymous in their usage.
Yeah, I suspect that a lot of listeners may not be too sure what being intersex even means. Can you just explain, you know, a bit more about the variations in sexual development that can occur among humans, beyond the binary idea of being male or female?
So thank you again for that question. But really, the framing of the question is unhelpful. And let me try and explain, okay? So to have an innate variation of sex characteristics or an intersex variation does not mean that somebody is not necessarily female or male, yeah? It can be helpful instead to think that some people have innate variations of sex characteristics, intersex variations. Most people don't. And a useful word for people that don't have an intersex variation is endosex. So we can talk then about, if you want to use the language intersex, we can talk about intersex people and then endosex females and males. Yeah. So to kind of try and distinguish. between the kind of situations that we're talking about. There are a really diverse range of innate variations of sets characteristics that can impact many different kinds of sex characteristics, including chromosomes, gametes that might be produced in people with the same chromosome variation. We can think about different ways in which people might urinate. That historically has been a method of determining sex. We can also think about differing hormone levels or a range of other kinds of sex characteristics. For most people, the different kinds of sex characteristics that I've just mentioned don't lead to different conclusions about the sex of somebody. Yeah. For some people with some innate variations of sex characteristics, different factors or different beliefs about the kinds of sex characteristics that can be determinative of sex can produce different outcomes. So, for example, for some people, there are some women observed female at birth, assigned female at birth, who have XY chromosomes, and their body appears female, or their body appears largely or predominantly female. And people with that combination of sex characteristics are currently the subject of what I would describe as coercive regulations in some sports. There are other people with other innate variations of sex characteristics, for example, those where they have XX sex chromosomes, typically female, whose bodies and characteristics are not problematized by those same sporting associations. And men like me are also not problematized in those regulations.
Can you give me some example of the kind of coercive regulations that you're thinking of there?
Well, I think World Athletics has regulations that are currently the subject of an appeal by Caster Semenya before the European Court of Human Rights. Caster Semenya has a trait that in Australia can lead to female or male observation and assignment at birth. In rural South Africa, where Caster Semenya is from, we know that children that are born visibly different at birth can be subjected to infanticide. So we know that there are significant risks attached to looking different at birth in places like where Caster Semenya is from. That would imply that Caster Semenya looked typically female at birth. Nevertheless, her sporting performance has been problematized by World Athletics, and it's the subject of multiple legal cases.
Yeah. And I know that there is a history and perhaps an ongoing practice of medical interventions on intersex people, at birth, where questions of consent come into play. Can you tell me a little bit about that side of things and some of the types of human rights concerns that can come up for this community?
Thank you. I think it's important to say this really that the notion questions about how infants and children with innate variations of sex characteristics are assigned at birth, whether it's female, male, or something else, is not the key question that the intersex movement in Australia or even globally is concerned about. The key issues that the intersex movement is concerned about is forced and coercive medicalization. And what I mean by that is the ongoing situation where infants and children who look visibly different at birth or who are diagnosed at or close to birth can be subject to either feminizing surgeries or masculinizing surgeries to make their bodies appear and function in ways that are more typically female or male. That is the ongoing issue that is the most pressing concern of the intersex movement in Australia and elsewhere. In terms of feminizing surgeries, we know that feminizing surgeries have been justified even in Australian courts as necessary to improve genital appearance of children observed and assigned female. We know that for children with innate variations of sex characteristics assigned male, we know that standing up to urinate or a perceived need to stand up to urinate is a rationale for surgical intervention very early. And these can have lifelong consequences for people subjected to medical interventions before they're old enough to make their own decisions about how they want to be treated, to express their own values and preferences. That is the key issue that is of concern. There is still evidence today that these interventions are routine in many hospitals around Australia, and they are routine everywhere else in the world where access to healthcare is easy and straightforward. Of course, there are some regions, including perhaps in rural Algeria and rural and regional South Africa, where access to healthcare is more limited. But people should have the right to make our own decisions about our own bodies.
Yeah. And I think it's important, you know, that we should reiterate again that we really don't know how, if at all, any of this might apply to Imane Khalif, and that there's a huge diversity of experiences within the intersex community. But you mentioned earlier the way that this discourse has played out has had a really serious impact on the intersex community. Can you tell me a bit more about what that's been like?
Yeah, and look, thank you for that question. This is something that really concerns me, actually for the boxers at the center of this discussion, but also for people with innate variations of sex characteristics around Australia and elsewhere. I'm seeing a lot of distress about the media coverage, particularly the demonization of people in media. A lot of distress, a lot of concern. I've seen people say that the kinds of press coverage they've seen is what they've always feared for themselves. Yeah. And really, seeing your friends, neighbors, sometimes even family members talk about these athletes in such hostile, hateful terms as we've seen on some of social media is incredibly confronting. There is a community response to this. I would say that the language of community is also kind of challenging because often, you know, infants and children and their families are not very well community connected. And there is a community of people with innate variations of sex characteristics in Australia. And there is support available to people with variations and to parents and family members. And that's offered through the Interlink program, which is a community-based psychosocial support program. So I'd encourage anybody listening to please reach out to Interlink if you are experiencing distress. It's incredibly distressing and difficult for people. It does feel like this happens every time we have an Olympics. And that's really disheartening. I hope we can do better by the time that the Olympics come to Brisbane.
Okay, so final question. If you could give listeners, you know, one point to take away from this discussion and the debate around Imane Khalif, What's the main thing that you'd really like people to understand?
Yeah, thank you. Look, people with innate variations of sex characteristics are ordinary people. We're not some mythological, demonic group of people. We're not a third sex. We're just people, ordinary people whose bodies are a bit different. And the stigmatization of people whose bodies are different is really concerning for us. Most people we just want respect and the ability to participate in everyday aspects of people's lives the same as everybody else. We don't know if Imana Khalif has an innate variation of sex characteristics. Whether she does or not, she deserves respect.